Okay, start this again. Here's a disclaimer of liability. The material and information contained or given on this website is for general information only. All parties on this channel are not lawyers or financial advisors. You are using this information with your own discretion. You should not rely upon the material or information on this website or audio file as a basis for making any business decisions. Whilst we endeavor to keep the information up to date and correct, Project Help makes no representations or warranties of any kind, express or implied, about the completeness, accuracy, reliability, suitability, or availability with respect to this website or audio file, information, products, services related to the graphics contained on this website or audio file for any purpose. All due diligence is a responsibility of the participant. Okay, folks. Does anybody have any questions before we start? Okay. This chat is a very hard topic for me to talk about. It can upset me quite a bit. And it's real serious. A lot of people have not considered security, and so with that said, let's get into it. You know, when it's really funny because, like, I've gone up and been very wealthy and then lost it all thanks to the United States government, and did it again and lost it all and did it again. Okay. The first time you get really wealthy, you think you know it all. You don't. You make tons and tons of mistakes. Okay. Other people that are around you that are wealthy, they don't tell you anything. I swear, I almost feel like they get off on watching you crash and burn. So a lot of this stuff, you don't find out about it until it's too late. Lottery winners usually don't find out about this stuff until they're about 80% through their money, and then it's, you know, almost too late. So because sheer wealth in the eye of the public means one thing, it may or may not mean that same thing to you. So in the public, massive wealth is power, okay? Notoriety, influence. Because of this, you're going to change the way you live. You don't have any choice, especially if you're planning on being a humanitarian. Because chances are you haven't considered how you're going to live your new life, okay? There, it's hard to explain. Money almost becomes secondary when you get to that level of wealth. Once you've got the wealth, then it's like you need to make the connections with your humanitarian projects or with the people you're going to be working with. People don't consider that the very things that they hold dear are what you need to protect the most. And they don't realize until the bad day comes how easy it is. It's people always think, oh, I need security staff for myself. They don't consider that they have soft targets. A soft target is your kids, your wife, your dog, your business partner. Your soft targets are things that you hold near and dear. So there's going to be people that are going to come up with ingenious ways to try to separate you with your money. Okay? And you have to change the way you currently live and think to protect your newfound wealth. Okay? If you don't protect your newfound wealth, then you're not going to be able to continue to help people. So it's in your best interest to make sure you're on point and safe. Okay? Some people approach this in different ways. In European countries, when you hire security, personal security, their personal security blends because they can't carry guns. In America, you guys always want to hire, oh, Rambo. Well, Rambo gets challenged with somebody with beer muscles, okay? So you need to be discreet. Discreet in everything you do and be an enigma. Don't let people look at you and understand you. Because if you're an enigma, if people look at you and don't know what the hell you are, that scares the shit out of them. Okay? I've lived by that rule. I don't look like what I am. I look like a nice older lady. I don't look like I'm an outrageous cannabis grower. People would never guess. I don't dress the part. I never have. I've been able to slide in and out of very wealthy places and, you know, garden grows, you know, slip in and slip out. I'm an enigma. It keeps people thinking that you don't want them to know your business. A criminal is a criminal and they are not brave, okay? A criminal's nature is to be a coward, okay? And cowards are going to pick on the easiest thing they can pick on. They're not going to pick on you directly. You're a hard target. You're on point. You're probably packing a gun. You're probably going out to the range and getting it on with your lead, okay? But everybody around you is vulnerable. They are now soft targets. The criminal counts on one thing. The criminal counts on the fact that you love your child and that you love your child or you love your wife more than you love money. So if you're an enigma, don't let anybody know you got married and wife. Don't let anybody know nothing about you. It doesn't just protect you. It protects those you love. So I will never, when I get money again, if, you know, I'm a widow now, but when I was wealthy, my late husband and I didn't change my last name. I couldn't. I was independently wealthy with my own work. It kept us safer. So think about it. Don't introduce your spouse to the public. Keep yourself an enigma, okay? You don't want the bad guys to know who you are. And if you think that's a joke, think about Kim Kardashian, one of the most famous girls out there. They had a robber break into their place while they're on vacation, steal their shit. They had security. They had the wrong kind. And the time you find out if your security is right or wrong is when the bad day comes. Usually what happens is when you get into that income level, you don't know how to hire security until someone you know either gets kidnapped or their kids get kidnapped or their wife gets kidnapped. And then the real comes out. Then the real information about what you needed to do, how you needed to do it, that comes out. A lot of times, first-time wealthy people, they'll go, oh, my cousin Joe was a bouncer. I'll just hire him. Well, no. You know, that's not going to work. Cousin Joe might be a bouncer, but he's not trained in extraction. He's not trained in keeping his eyes peeled, you know? He's trained at sitting in front of a door and tossing people on their ass when they fuck up. And it's in a little tiny area, so it's like not hard to do, okay? Not compared to what you're about to do. So you need to remember that when you gain this wealth, that is something incredibly important, because you are literally, the people listening to this audio pod right now, you are literally the people the world is waiting for to help change and bring wealth and humanity back to humanity. I need all of you to listen. I need all of you to be safe. I need all of you to keep your family safe, okay? I get this question a lot. Ms. Parker, I've been divorced and my ex is a flaming dick, okay? And I have my kids go to my ex's house and I hate his ass, okay? I just freaking hate it. And that wife he has, shitty bitch that she is, I hate them both. How am I gonna force him to, you know, accept the fact that I'm gonna have security for my kids? Well, you're not, okay? You're not even gonna try. What you're gonna do if you've got that kind of a circumstances, yeah, it's a shitty circumstances, and God bless you, I feel sorry for you. But the way you're gonna deal with it is you're gonna talk to the company, your security company that you're working with, and you're gonna talk to your lawyer, and you're gonna have your lawyer and the head of the security company go over to your ex's house. And they're going to explain into no uncertain terms that, look, you don't give a shit about them. You are there to make sure that the kids are safe. And you're going to now have a security team for your kids. And you're going to also have a security team for your ex. Because even though you may be at odds with your ex, even though you might want to spit the ground they walk on, that's the father of your child or the mother of your child. And if you don't take care of that child's other parent, that child's going to grow up one day and see you for the shitty person you are. They don't care if you and your ex hate each other. They just want to make sure that you do the right thing, okay? So no matter how shitty the divorce has been, no matter how fucked up it is, I don't care. Go out and buy a big house for your ex. And that way, it'll be easier for you to have security around your kids. Because I'm going to tell you what, it's a lot cheaper to buy a $1 million house for your ex than it is to go pay $20, $30 million to go get your kids back. Okay, sorry to be rude, but that's the way you got to think. You got to take you out of it. There's nothing about you. It's about the safety of your children. So bite the bullet, or what you can do is, you know, I mean, this one gal, I just hate him. How am I going to do this? And I said, okay, here's what you do. Go buy him a big ass house. Put it in a trust. And tell him, look, when the youngest turns 18, you got to move out of this house. Until then, you got all your bills paid. You can live in this fancy ass house. That was the only thing that made her happy. So you can do the same thing. I mean, if you really, truly hate that person that badly, put the property in a trust, okay? Because it doesn't matter. It's about your kids. So sorry to give you a lecture, but you need to know, because that's the easiest place for the bad guys to take your kids, is if they're unguarded or exposed at your ex's house. So don't let that happen. I hope the information that I give to you this evening helps you on your new path of being a humanitarian, because I believe that everyone that has that in their heart is going to be fulfilled with way more than just wealth than you could ever acquire. There's the most
unbelievable feeling about changing people's lives and doing the right thing. And it gets really, really addicting. And it's really, really, really an amazing thing to teach your children. So the first thing we got to talk about is wealth management. So the first thing you're going to need to think about is wealth management. And wealth management, this is security of your wealth. The wealth manager that you're going to get, they do a lot of things, okay? And you need to interview them as much as they interview you, okay? I've got some questions that I can give you to ask wealth management's potential people, so you can have reading the questions give you an idea of what they should be answering. So wealth management is one of the ways you're going to be secure. When you hire your wealth management team, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to look to your security company and you're going to say, hey, look, are these guys safe? And you're going to have your security team run background on wealth management. Everything you do once this money happens is you're going to run through your security team. That's the first hire you should have. And you should be looking at these kind of companies now to figure out who you're going to call. None of them will take your phone calls right now because you don't have any money. But start looking at security management teams based on your specific needs. And find one that you're going to call. Plan on who you're going to call. And get a team. Don't hire John Q. Blow and him and like two other guys that works for him. No, hire an actual firm with a management company, and they have 20 or 30 agents, and they have 10 or 15 high-profile clients. So hire an agency, because that agency is going to be able to do security checks, background checks, all kinds of other stuff that you wouldn't even think about doing yourself. They're going to know, and they're going to keep you safe, not just physical, but also cyber as well. So that's the first thing you're going to do, is you're going to have your security team check your wealth management guys to make sure that these guys are not thieves, that they are who they say they are, yada, yada, yada. The next thing you're going to install for your security of your finances is a paymaster. Now, I hate paymasters. I hate paymasters. But when I go to pay my taxes, oh, I love my paymaster. Because the paymaster pays all your bills. You don't have to think about a thing. All your recurring bills, done. Paymaster takes care of all of it. The reason why I hate a paymaster, and I shouldn't, is because a paymaster makes sure everything I spend is tracked correctly. So if I want to go buy a new truck, I call my paymaster. Hey Mike, I need a check for $50,000 deposited in my play money account. He makes the deposit. I buy the truck. You know, hey Mike, this I spent, you know, blah 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 blah. Here's the track number. So he makes sure everything is recorded properly. When you have multiple projects, when you have your family governance, I'm going to end up, I have multiple inventions and I will continue to make things and invent things. So starting up, I'm starting with 4 projects. There's no way in hell I'm going to remember the write-off that goes to this project or the fees that go to that one. I'm not going to remember that. That's what paymaster's for. So you figure out who you're going to hire as a paymaster. Go right to your security team and you say, run a background on this fella. Make sure it's correct. But I hate calling my paymaster and saying, I need money. I'm like 5 years old. Give me money. That's what it feels like. Next thing you're going to do is you're going to hire a legal team. There's a couple different ways of thinking about this. I've done it both ways. I've hired a legal team And I have started my own legal offices. And I have a lawyer that I think highly of, or we get along great, or just a bunch of different things. And I decided that the guy was really great, but I knew that I would lose him because he was actually way, way better than what I needed. And so what I did is I said, hey, listen, I know you're a young lawyer and you're just a shark, want to bleed the water. So how about if I buy a building and pay all your law fees to set up your firm, and you get a tax lawyer in here, you get a contract lawyer in here, you get a, I can't remember the names of the four different lawyers you need, a secure, a lawyer that protects you in case you get sued. So there's like four different lawyers, and say, hey, put a law firm together. I'll pay the whole thing. I'll pay the staff the first year. And after that, you have to make enough money to pay your own fees. But I'll pay you a wage as well. And that wage is so that I have access to you whenever I need you. It worked really great. When I had lawyers that I hired, I like to have ownership of the law firm because then I have access to records immediately. It just made more sense to me. As large as I think I'm going to build my global company, I believe this time I'm going to need my own law firm again. That I'm going to own it, I'm going to be a silent partner in it, and I'll have the team, whoever will be the founding partners, they'll decide whatever the hell they do, lawyer stuff, I don't know. As soon as I get that done, I go right to my security team and I have them run background checks on all these people. So, as far as staffing goes, so when you build your list of staff, you're going to have to make sure that nobody comes to you that has any kind of criminal background. Now, depending on your business, okay? In the cannabis industry, it's almost like a badge of honor if they've been sent to prison for growing weed, okay? So it doesn't always apply for every business, okay? So if you have an industry that, people don't care that, they went to prison for this, that's one thing, but mostly doesn't. I personally don't, I don't care if they've had any kind of cannabis arrest. I don't care about any of that. And I'll hire anybody that has any kind of history of, they've been a grower or they were selling weed or something stupid with cannabis. And that's the only thing I really don't give a crap about. But powders and all kinds of other drugs and stuff, you can't have it on there. You don't know. Cannabis is, I believe it's not the same as a lot of these other drugs. So I don't care how my staff does it as long as they don't do it on work hours. So you need to make sure that you check your security team checks all the references for these people. This includes everything, including your personal assistant all the way to your gardener. One of my friends had hired a gardener and he was the brother-in-law to Al Corona, the mass murderer in Yuba City. So yeah, don't do that. So do have background checks done on everybody that you work for you. Some of the background check companies, if you can't get staff hired quick enough, Pinkerton, Pinkerton. Oh shoot, I've got to get my charger. My phone's about to run out. Hold on a minute. Hold on. Gonna get a charger. Play that crazy music. Okay. Get a charger, get a charger, get a charger. Hey, Maga. What you doing, good dog? Okay, and get plugged in. My favorite trick is to forget to plug in the phone. Okay. So, background check companies. We have Pinkerton, Pinkerton.com, CenturyLink, CenturyLink.com. This one blew me away. Experian, Experian.com. And then there's a lot of online self-service companies. Me, I'm going to wait until I get my security guys, and then I'm going to say, who do you use? What do we do? And then just, if I'm trusting my security team, I'm going to trust who they refer me to as far as to do background checks. So I'm going to give you a list of people that you need to consider, okay? And if you don't have a pencil and piece of paper, I'm going to give you like 30 seconds to get a pencil and piece of paper, because I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to need it. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Giving you a few minutes to get a pencil or a pen. Oh, actually, this is recorded, so I guess you don't need it. Never mind. So I've been asked in times past, I've been asked, well, who are we going to hire? Well, these are some of the people that you might hire depending on your company that you have. Are you ready? You're going to need an accounting or tax lawyer. You're going to need someone that will help you with acquisitions, acquiring property, raw materials, any kind of acquisitions. You're going to need administrative assistance. You're going to need an art advisory and collections management. Your professional buildings will end up having art in them. And you're going to need someone that can advise you with art. Yeah, I know, it's a thing. Asset management, somebody that keeps track of all your assets in your buildings. I highly suggest you take plane lessons. So you need aviation safety training. You're going to need a team to market brand identity, web design, and marketing for whatever your project is. You're going to need to set up your charity or philanthropy in any of your retail businesses and figure out how that looks. So you need somebody that's going to help you figure that out. You generally will need someone for compliance for any kind of business or industry that you're getting into. A concierge service. I have a service that I call up and I say, hey, I need to make plane flights between this and this. I need a hotel. I need this. I need that. Click. I'm done. They take care of it all. You're going to need someone to help you with metals purchases because you probably will invest in metals. You're going to need someone to help you with digital privacy and cybersecurity. I strongly, strongly, strongly advise you never stop learning. You're going to need some kind of education consultancy where you're going to have to talk to a professional and they're going to guide you about what kind of classes you need to take to help you further yourself with your business or with understanding whatever you're lacking on. Don't ever stop doing education. It's fabulous. You're going to need help with screening employees. You're going to need help with lifestyles and event management. You're going to need someone to help you, guide you in how to arrange your life with a personal assistant, an executive assistant, running your family, and everything else. You're going to need help understanding how to manage all those balls, keep all those balls in the air. You are going to want someone that will help you with your family office, your family guidance, And you're going to need software solutions for all that because it's massive. So you're going to need some way to track it all digitally. You're going to need genealogy and family history. What you are doing is going to make history in your family, whether or not you realize it. So I urge you to start, get someone to help you with your family history. Because if you become a humanitarian that changes the world, they're going to want to know about you. So you need to start documenting your family history. It's like, that's too ego. No, it's not. People are going to want to know. Governance specialists, people that will help you set up your family governance. You're going to need a catering company, home entertainment, and party service. You're going to need an HR person. You, of course, independent wealth management services as well as family management services. You're going to need insurance, and you're going to need insurances for stuff you didn't even know you could insure. There's different life insurances that actually act up being your own personal bank. I mean, there's a kind of insurances for wealth, high wealth people is just insane. I can't even remember all of them, but there was insurances I had never even heard of until you got really stupid wealthy. You're going to need an interior design and consultancy. I get more kickback from that. Oh, Ms. Parker, I don't need an interior design. I can set up my house. No, you can't. You're going to have people, important people, powerful people come to your home. Don't judge a book by your cover. Excuse me, you absolutely judge a book by your cover. How else do you know what the hell's inside the book? So, yes, there is a few times when you can look crappy and you're fabulous, but it's people don't think like that. They're going to hold you to a higher level than you hold yourself right now because you're going to be helping the world. You're going to be helping the globe, whatever your humanitarian project is. People are going to hold you in high regard. You shouldn't. Put yourself in a place where someone that you're working with, talking to, thinks you are less than. You have to look the part, okay? So that means you need to hire someone to do interior design and consultancy in your house when you get a new house. I'm an art major, okay? I have a degree in art. And do you think I design my own house? Hell no. I hire someone to do my interior design. I don't got time. You're also going to need someone that's going to help you, a company that will help you with international foreign exchange, exchanging foreign monies, bonds, bills, whatever you're going to exchange. You're going to need a full legal team. You're going to need health until we get the med beds out, some kind of health facility or... One of the first things you need to do is to get a full checkup after this happens. You're going to have to decide on mobile and telecommunications. Our telecom is going to change greatly. We believe Q phones are going to come out. But until then, you are going to need a cybersecurity company that's going to help you with cybersecurity for your telephones until this happens. You're going to need a PR team and communications team to let people know about your project so that you are not the face of it, so that you can hide and stay safe. You probably will need a hotel advisory agency to help you when you're going to different hotels. Especially if you're doing, like if you're using hotels as business rooms and business offices, a hotel advisory is going to have all that information at their fingertips. It'll be a lot faster than having your people try to figure it out on their own. You're going to need a security risk management consultancy. That's usually the same people that are in your security team. You're going to need technology advisors, computer geeks that help you keep everything running. You're going to need somebody that understands trust and fiduciary law, capital investments, venture capital investments lawyer,
and a VIP travel company. So there's going to be a lot of people that you're going to have your security team run through and check. Okay? So a lot of times I get kickback about the cost of hiring security. What's it going to cost to hire security? Figure $150,000 a year per agent, up to $250,000 a year per agent, depending on what the agent's guarding. Here are some things you need to consider. Nobody's going to take a bullet for you or your family for $10 an hour. Nobody. Period. In a sentence. Done. It's not happening. Okay? Don't think like an American. Think European. Bigger is not necessarily better. A good criminal doesn't care how big you are because they have a planned out mission to take you down, okay? So you're looking for somebody with skills, not size. Certificates of training, there's all kinds of personal security guard training certificates, different schools. You're gonna need more than one person because you can't work somebody 24 hours a day, 7 days a week and expect to feel safe, okay? Look for somebody that has training in weapons, martial art, bodyguard training. Look for someone that has security, defensive driver training. Okay? When you're hiring your staff, think about how many people you actually need to hire. You need to have at least four people for you and, say, your wife. Five people, probably. If you've got kids, add another two agents for each child. Kids are a hot mess. You need more guys to watch them. Okay. So, you know, the reason why if you're gonna have somebody 24/7, you need to plan on them having a place to stay on premise. Sometimes agents work a week on and a week off. So you'll have two agents on, two agents off. Two agents on, two agents off for a week. And they live on premise. And you flip your schedule. They love it. It's like the same hours as a fireman. If you are going to protect more people, you're going to have more agents. Wife, grandkids, you know, kids, whatever. Do you live in a remote area or a guarded gate community? If not, you need to be. Because it's much more difficult to steal you or your family if you're in a guard-gated community. A lot of people don't consider this, but what kind of vehicle is safe for you? What kind of vehicle will keep you the safest? I don't know. You got to ask your agent about that. I'm pretty sure Hummer or some kind of SUV is what they're going to say, bulletproof windows. There's companies that make all that stuff. But asking your security team what kind of vehicle to keep you safe, they're going to give you the best rundown. You need to make sure that your driver has some kind of security driving in a crisis, knows how to drive under high pressure. The other thing you need to think about is, you know, are you going global? Okay, if you're going global, you have to think about ground help, okay? Ground help in another country. You are going to have to hire agents in a different country to seamlessly work with your current crew. You also need to consider, do you have facilities or assets that need protection as well? I'm planning on having two houses, and I will have a security team at the house that I'm not living in all the time. Of the security team that lives on premise. So that means when I'm looking for houses, I have to look for houses that have guest houses or, you know, service staff housing on property. You need to interview this person with one thing in mind. Can I trust this person with my life? Are you willing to also continue to get and provide training for them because they're going to need it? You also need to ask them if they want to teach you self-protection classes, or if they can give you advice on how to go to self-protection classes. Many times criminals will use duct tape to tape a person together, but they don't know there's actually tricks in getting out of duct tape. So you want to have as much training as possible that you can have to keep yourself safe. And you need to figure out how much you need to budget for all this stuff. I know it's a lot to think about. But you have to remember that you're thinking about doing global projects. You're thinking about doing national projects. You're not thinking about, you know, I'm going to be a little backyard fish in my little backyard sea. I'm just going to have a little project in my little city. Mm-mm. Most of you are talking about global or national. So the bad guys are going to look at you. Be ready for the bad day. I've talked about this, I think, in this group, but I don't know. But people don't realize how easy it is to get kidnapped. It just takes a team of two people, two cars. Your wife drives the same way every day, takes a kid to school every day. Everything's good, okay? Every day, doesn't change your thing. She should have a professional driver, but no, she doesn't. She's like, oh, we don't need one, honey. It'll save us money. So on her way to school, this car comes around in front of her, hits their brakes in front of her. She slams into the back of the car, and she sees the driver slump over the front of the car, slump over the wheel. Oh, God, I've hurt him. She jumps out of the car to go help that driver, and the car behind her drives right up to the car, slams on their brakes, jumps out of the car, opens up the back door, grabs your kid out, throws it in their car, and takes off. And your wife may not even notice until the kid is screaming as they're putting him in the other car. It happens that fast. If you go the same thing, if you do the same place every single day, I did the same thing. I got gas at a certain gas station. I got a cup of coffee at that gas station. I did my duties in town. When I went to go back up to the hill to where I had a $2 million crop, I stopped at that same gas station, refilled my coffee cup, and got a pack of powdered donuts because I was freaking in love with those little stupid powdered donuts. God help me, little powdered Hostess donuts are the death of me. I'm telling you, it's the worst thing ever, but I don't even care because I freaking love them. They gave the guy $100. It was back in the day of pagers. They gave him $100. They said, when you see that bitch come through, just page us. I wasn't even paying attention. I jumped in the building. Didn't even realize, didn't see him, didn't pay attention to the clerk that he texted somebody as soon as I walked in the building. When I went to leave the building, I didn't pay attention that there was two guys standing by the door when I went out. They grabbed me, they stuck a gun in my ear and put me in the vehicle. The vehicle was a Ford Galaxy. And they had welded a U-shaped piece of metal into the center console, the rise where the, between the, there's a bump in the floor. And they welded a U thing there, and they clipped my handcuffs to them. That's how they got me in the car.
They had me for 20 minutes. The damage that they did to my body in that time caused me to be uncomfortable to take my shirt off to go swimming in public my entire youth. It's only been recently that I'm even comfortable to do it. $100. Back in those days, if they caught, this is a Hispanic group, they would catch you out of your grow. They would torture you until you gave up your grow. And then they would rape you, and then they would slice your face, and then they would slice your throat and throw you out like trash. So this was back in the day when cannabis was really the wild, wild west, and up in Shasta, there was lots of bodies buried in Mount Shasta, I'm just saying. So I thought I was safe. I went to the range once or twice a week. I practiced with my weapons all the time. I slept with weapons. But you let your guard down one tiny, tiny time, and that's all it takes. So I don't talk to people about the importance of security very often. I end up with nightmares. But if it gets one of you to understand how freaking serious this is, then my job's done. It's worth it. You need to remember that, you know, blending is important. My security team will have one woman in it and two men. Because one of the men needs to look a little older. You know, if I have to tell him, look, can you put gray in your hair? No, not really. But I want it to look to the general public like I'm out a foursome, me and a woman and two men. You know, like we're a foursome as a tourist, or we're a foursome. I don't want my security team to look like security team. Okay. I'm probably going to hire mostly European bodyguards. Because I'll have a team of about six. I'll probably have four that are European and two that are the good old American bruisers, okay? Different places that you go require different skill sets for your agents. Let your agents determine what those skill sets are. When you work with a company, an agency, you tell them the kind of agents you're looking for. So remember, if you are going to travel abroad, your bodyguard cannot be armed with a firearm. So you need to make sure that at least half of your team has good organizational skills and can blend in with your party, not just somebody that's a big bulk, okay? I hate to say this, but some of the worst choices I've ever made for bodyguards were current or ex-police officers. That's a lot of reasons I don't want to get into right now. The best choices I've made for bodyguards have been those with prior military, with as much weapons training and as much EMT emergency medically training as they've had, and I prefer guys who've been in combat zones. I'll deal with the PTSD. I prefer guys with combat zones. Those guys are not going to be afraid to have a bad day. Most of those guys relish bad days. When's a bad day coming? We're ready, boss. You know, no. So that's the kind of guys I look for. And yeah, they're hardcore, and yeah, some of them can be real assholes, but they're there to protect you. And you know, I'm not I'm not so afraid of being shot as I am being kidnapped. If they shoot you, that they can't get any money out of you, so they're going to kidnap you. So I don't want to be kidnapped again ever. So I always choose, I choose ex-military all the time. They're the best. They're the best at what they do. They deliver a degree of loyalty and professionalism every single time. If you are thinking of somebody that, you know, hey, this is somebody I want to have be my bodyguard, understand this. You're going to have to train them to be a bodyguard, to be a personal security bodyguard, okay? And that's not cheap, because you're going to have to run 1,000 bullets a week through their guns. You know, you're going to have to pay for firing time, weapons time, bullets. They need to go through a million rounds, some more, some less, depending on their skill set. But if you plan to have somebody trained, they're not going to be ready until they fire at least 50,000 rounds in a competitive environment. And me, I go for guys that I like to shoot. I am a farmer's daughter. I like pheasant. I like to eat pheasant. I like deer. I like to eat deer. I like bear. I've shot a couple of bear in my life. I like bear. Okay. I'm a hunter. I like my long arms. I like my short arms. I have a lot of fun with my trainings, my staff, because I'm like, guys, let's go shooting. And it never hurts for you to learn how to shoot. There's never any downside to you learning how to shoot. I always try to do some kind of competitive shooting with my guys, like 10 to 1. I have to shoot my target one time to every there 10 times. It makes it fun, okay? One of the most important things you need to consider, and you need to think about it right now, is how much does somebody know you? How much does somebody know your family? How much does somebody know the business that you want to do? Okay. You're going to want to treat your kids well, but you're also going to want to stay enigma. You want to stay in the backgrounds. You want to be a kingmaker. You want to be in the backgrounds. Okay. You want to do the right things in the backgrounds. This means you cannot give your 16-year-old an Alfa Romeo and expect to stay a ghost, expect to stay an enigma, okay? You have to consider your family. You know, I had two daughters, God love them, and they couldn't keep a secret to save their life. If it was something really cool, like, you know, they were going to get a new dress, or God save them, the day they got a new car, you know, don't tell your father. Yeah, that only worked for about an hour. So you have to realize your family as well. You can't jump into being loud in your life without, and you'll attract attention. If you have the kind of money I think all of us are going to have, you need to plan right now how you're going to live your life when you become a multimillionaire or a billionaire. And yeah, I think a lot of us are going to become billionaires. I'm just going to say it right now, okay? Whatever you decide to do on your security, your security is going to have a direct impact on your peace of mind. And that peace of mind is priceless. The first time you have a bad day, you're going to have a bad day in your mind for a long, long, long time. So give it a great deal of thought how you're going to protect yourself. Because plan on hiring a bodyguard for a long time. They will be your friend. They will be a great friend. They will be a confident. They'll be a great person to confide in. and they should be somebody you respect. So, personal security, martial arts. If you haven't considered martial arts, you might want to think about it. Learning to protect yourself goes a great deal to help your bodyguard and helping protect you. If you don't, that's entirely up to you, but I'm a girl with tools. And the more tools I have in my tool bag, the better life is for me. Now, I have not done any martial arts classes. I used to think it was silly because I didn't understand martial art classes. And I gotta tell you, I'm actually gonna take martial arts classes as soon as I this blessing happens, because I don't feel like it that way anymore. I feel like it's something, yeah, I think I want to actually do that. So there's a lot of skilled martial arts teachers, and I'm just going to have my crew either find one for me, or I'm going to find one myself. One of the other things you need to think about is having a locator beacon. You know, a GPS locators, there's things called tracks or a tag. I can't remember the exact thing. And it's a little locator. It's a little square locator. It's used to, for people to find their keys. But you can clip it on your kid's backpack. Clip it on, you know, clip it on your phone as a lanyard on your phone. This is an instant way to find you, your kids, or anybody in your family. I'm going to have a locator beacon on my dog. When you interview your security company, a lot of people forget to ask this question. They forget to ask, or maybe they don't know. You need to ask them if they have a retrieval expert. And retrieval experts are people that are experts at finding and retrieving people that have been kidnapped. You're not looking for a negotiator. You're looking for somebody that has a success in this business. But again, you're going to be, I will be, I don't know if you will, heavily relying on the security staff that I hire to, hey, I'm going to ask, do you have a retrieval expert? If not, that's not the right company for me to use. Your alarm system's in your house. Let's talk about home security. Let me get a sip of tea here. Seeing as how I'm spilling the tea, might as well have a sip of the tea. home security. Well, actually, hold on. I'm going to ask, does anybody have any questions about what I've talked about so far? If you have questions and you don't know how to answer, hit the blue button and it'll allow you to speak. Does anybody have any questions so far? Nope. Okay. So let's talk about home security. You can have an alarm system. I don't really have a 24-hour security patrol because they take way too long to show up. I've had to call 24-hour security patrol and they're more scared shitless than I am. So it's like, forget about it. So I use wireless cameras and alarms, and I have the alarms ring in my security, wherever my security guys are. One of the things I am going to do is when I buy my new house, I'm going to wait until I have my security team hired, and then I'm going to have one of those guys go with me, because you're going to want a safe room in your house. Security team is going to be able to look at your house and determine if a safe room or how a safe room can be implemented in your house. This is a room that you can hide in. You can use to fight. You can fight it, you know, if somebody comes and tries to take over your house, fight the house, and a way to communicate outside the safe room. Inside the safe room, you're going to have cameras, food, water, weapons, ammo, and it has to have its own power supply, generator supply. You can also put your valuables, your jewels, anything expensive that's important to you can be stored in your safe room. Your security team should have a safe room expert. Hire them. They're worth every penny. I also talk about layered security. So, one of the best ways to keep your house safe is to make sure they can't get into your house. So, I do a lot of cowgirl stuff. So, let me get a picture of this up. And I am gonna find some images. So my property is very, very protected. I will have, let's get this up. Okay, I'm gonna show you guys some pictures of this stuff. So this, if you look into, copy the image, paste. If you look into the chat room right now, this is called a thorn tree, okay? Yeah, those are spikes. Here's a thorn bush, okay? Lemon trees also have these kind of thorns, okay? Thorn trees are, if you stagger your thorn trees, no one will get through your property. Nobody. So I have thorn trees planted all around the outside edge of my property. I'm just pasting a couple thorn tree images. I have two rows of thorn trees that are staggered all the way around the outside of my property because I'm going to have several acres of property. I'll plant these 5 feet apart, staggered. And then in front of those, I'll plant climbing roses. And I'll allow the climbing roses to start growing on the thorn trees because what the climbing roses are doing is they're hiding the thorns. I'm telling you, if you have someone on your property and they've done the dirty or done something bad on your property and you've got some kind of alarm system on your house, dog, anything that makes them run, they're not running out of your property. These thorns on this thorn tree, they will shred you. There's no way you're getting past it staggered thorn trees, okay? They will be so bloody, it will be easy to find them. Because these things are like razors. And every year they start out, here's fresh ones. This is what they look like when they're first growing. They're red, they're really soft. Here's another one. This type of thorn tree is green thorns, okay? So the first year they're kind of pliable. They're soft, okay? But after the second year, this is what they look like. They get to be freaking dangerous, okay? Those soft thorns turn into harsh, harsh thorns. So I don't want anybody on my property. So I am going to have thorn trees around the perimeter of my property. And then I'm going to plant climbing roses on the inside thorn tree. So when you look at the trees, you'll see the greenery above, but you won't see the little daggers on the thorn trees. So the more ways, the more, the safer you can be is by only giving a criminal one way to get in or out of your property. If you want to have a door or someplace in your fence that you could get on the other side of the fence a different way, then you have to make it in the thorn trees. You know, make a lock, whatever. I'm not sure how to say this. But I have it so criminals can only get in and out of my property one way. If they try to go the other way, if they try to run through the thorn trees, God love them, because the thorn trees won't. They'll end up in the hospital. And you'll be able to find out who stole from you, who tried to steal your family, whatever, because they'll be bloody from nose to toes. So this is what I call layered security. So it can be gated security. It can be security walls. It can be dogs. It can be security lights and alarms. Whatever you can do to put a crimp in their style to get to you or getting away from you, give your security team enough time to catch these bastards, okay? So that's what layered security is. You need to consider layered security. Another part of security that people don't think about is, this is going to sound crazy, I know, I don't care, is wellness. You need to keep healthy. Some people are well motivated to keep healthy and some are not. You need to include a wealth regimen to keep you on track. Because if you're a little fat girl or you're a little fat boy and the bad day comes, you've got to be able to run. And if you're overweight, if you're sick, you can't do that. So get in, if you're just a little bit sick, get into the med beds. Get yourself healthy. If the med beds aren't going to happen for 2 years, get yourself a personal trainer and get yourself in shape. If you need a nutritionist because you eat terrible, okay, I do eat a lot of cupcakes. If you eat terrible, you need a nutritionist, okay? Hiring the right person is going to keep you fit, going to keep you motivated. And you might not like your trainer all the time. And you might not want to have a trainer all the time. And you might think it's a stupid expense. But if you want to go walk the jungles of South Africa when you're 70, you need a trainer. If you want to go ride the big waves in Hawaii when you're 70, you need a trainer. If you want to compete in the Ironman, you need a trainer. Are we listening here? You need a trainer. Your health is a security issue. Trainers and nutritionists go hand in hand, so you're probably going to need a nutritionist as well. Now, some of my friends, they use energy healers. I think God is my own energy healer. I pray, and I'm not into energy healers, but if you think you need an energy healer, because that's how you do things, then get an energy healer. Another security concern is your electronic footprint. You're right now, up until you get money, your social media habits is no big deal. Harmless, okay? You might have the same passwords for 3 or 4 things, okay? Because it's convenient. I get it, okay? But when you have money, that all has to change. There is millions and millions of people whose personal information has been compromised through Google, YouTube, Google Maps, all this kind of stuff. Facebook bought Instagram, and immediately your privacy was just another marketing tool. Okay? There is a company called Delete Me. I strongly, strongly, strongly encourage you use that and get all your information off. Get it off, because the more people know about you, the more dangerous you know, the more difficult that is. I have a problem because I am very well known in the cannabis industry. I'm very well known in the cannabis industry, and unfortunately, a lot of the well-known people I know are probably going to end up on the, you know, they were in the entertainment business, so they're probably going to end on the wrong side of a rope. But I won't have the ability to hide easily because I'm well known in my industry. Don't let yourself get well known. The second you are well known, you cannot hide and you can't live your life freely. I've been fortunate enough to date a professional football player when I was younger. Yeah, I was a bombshell. and I couldn't handle it. The nonstop paparazzi, the girls that would basically come lay all over him when we were having dinner. You couldn't go to the movies without a half a dozen boys, you know, young boys coming up and asking for an autograph. You had no private life whatsoever. And up until the day I began dating this gentleman, and he was a great guy. He was a really nice guy. And I couldn't handle it. Until you're in the middle of paparazzi and having to deal with it, you have no idea how difficult it is. And it's no joke. It's no joke. So I encourage you, stay secret as long as you can, because it is not fun dealing with the kind of stuff the film crews will do to try to get your picture. It's just not, it's not worth it. I encourage people get a VPN proxy server, so that way people don't know your physical location. Proton mail, encrypted mail, delete Skype. Skype's owned by Microsoft, and just get off all social media. If you are dying and you have to be on social media, have your security team make a false profile for you so you can hide and be safe. But I don't even encourage that. You need to get off. You're not going to have time. Number one, you're going to be so screaming, slam busy, you're not going to have time to breathe. So get off social media. Sorry. I know that's, people come, I love my Facebook. I'm sorry. Don't let the bad guys know where you live, what you're doing. The last thing is insurance strategies. You're going to need a strategy for keeping your companies, your businesses, everything insured. I have no real information on this. I had insurances set up. They basically had my insurances set up so that I could be like a bank to myself. I still don't understand it. I just let my insurance guy do it. But that's pretty much the kind of security you're looking at. And I hope I've answered your questions. If you have questions now, please feel free to ask me anything you want.
Ms. Parker, all these things that you have discussed tonight, as far as people that we need, all this payroll is paid by our projects, correct?
Depending on what you do, yeah. What I've given you is a wide range of people.
Yeah.
So you have an idea of what to think about, because most people don't even realize that you can hire all those kind of people.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But yeah, your trust.
That's what Aiden does.
This would be paid for out of the trust, yes.
Okay. I was fixing to say, this would be any kind of profit that we had. Okay. Well, thank you so much for answering that. And I've really enjoyed your show. I've been with you for three months maybe. So I have enjoyed learning. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. You're doing a humanitarian project, so the first 100 years, you don't really need to be worried about profit. What it'll take you is probably 30 or 40 years to figure out a way to build profit into a project that's up and running. Might take less, might take more. You just don't know. But humanitarian projects are about giving away services or goods. So if you want to make it enduring and long-term, then, you know, figure out a way to work with a base amount of money and only use the interest off that base amount of money. Your wealth managers will be able to give you more information about that. I'm sorry, I don't know if you hear me. My wealth, your wealth manager should. Oh, come on, quit beeping. Your wealth manager should give you more information about that. Anybody have any other questions?
And I just want to tell you also that I just love your attitude. I love your vivacity. I just think.
Thank you. I really love what I'm doing.
Okay, I have a question, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
I'm not sure if you went over this already, but what are your thoughts on changing your identity totally?
That's a really tough question. I had to use an alias and change my identity for a while. Man, this is a hard question to talk about. There are a lot of good things about changing your identity. It makes it a lot harder for the bad guys to find you. But when you change your identity, unless you have no family, it really doesn't help you much because they can still track you by your family. So unless you're planning to make a hard break from your family, it's a lot of expense. Well, in some states, it's not that much. Probably $600 to change your name. But you'd have to change your name, your spouse's name, your kid's name, everybody. When you walk away, you walk away. Because, you know, there's really not, unless you're, you know, selling guns, or, you know, or something illegal, there's really not a reason to change your name unless you are, you know, getting death threats or something like that. If I got death threats again, I would change my name. I would do it permanently. It caused a lot of grief because I had to be away from my family for a while. And they were not happy with me. So it's not something you should do lightly, but if you are it, like if you don't have any family members alive and, you know, your wife has family members and she wants to do it or however that works, but there's a lot to think. There's a lot to take in on it. It's not something I would do lightly. Hope that helps. Anybody else have a question? Well, folks, if you don't have a question, this is going to conclude
Ms. Parker from RV Project Helps Chat on security for the uber wealthy. Oh, Heavenly Father, please watch over these new budding humanitarians and help them listen to their heart and find the right way and find your calling, Lord, so they can help change their world, their cities, their states, their towns, their nations, their countries. Amen.